welcome to the Musicians Insider. I'm your host, Cronus. And today we're going to have, for the very first episode, our inaugural episode, we're going to have Robert Scoble, Scobelizer, who's really been one of the first in a lot of places. He was the first in a Tesla, the first guy to use Google Glass in the shower and make no one else want to use it. A lot of firsts. So without further ado, we'll bring him on shortly here. I'd like to introduce Robert Scoble.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is my first one. You're the first one.
Wow. That's awesome.
So, hey, everyone.
Somebody had to be first.
So, hey, everyone. Welcome to my first inaugural podcast for the Musicians Insider. I'm Cronus, and our first guest is none other than Robert Scoble, Scobelizer. He is always first. So I thought it'd be interesting to say some of the things you've been first at. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about yourself, because I haven't really...
Working as a journalist or futurist in the tech industry for a long time. Building online communities and stuff like that. I was the first one to see the first Tesla. I was the first one to see Flipboard. I was the 79th user of Instagram. Siri was launched in my son's bedroom. So then that's just some of the weird shit that's happened in my life. So.
I noticed you left out the Google Glass.
I wore that for a year. That was always fun. That'll come back someday.
I really enjoy... just when I speak to you and talk to you about things, just because you are a futurist and I don't know many people who are. And like, you're the one guy kind of like when I go to you, you're on the cutting edge all the time, making sure stuff is going to be great for your life. So my entire podcast is dedicated to music. It's the Musicians Insider. I can't even say it, the Musicians Insider. But a lot of things you do are music related. I think even without even realizing it, but I think, as you know, you've got the best music headphones on your head right now, right?
Yeah.
See what I'm wearing?
Overpriced Apple headphones. No, they're actually really good. Yeah, that's cool.
These are in-ear monitors from 64 Audio. They're one of my sponsors, actually, so for my music
that's
project.
Awesome.
So I get these in-ears that are just beautiful, and they have 12 drivers in them, so I can hear everything very clearly. And it's just, I can't believe the way technology's gone. One of the things that I've found is in my life, the technology has now got to where I can actually do all the music stuff I've been sort of afraid to do. I think one of my problems was being a perfectionist. I always wanted it to be right. So then by the time I got it right, it's like I'm 45. So,
That's the way it is. I'm 55. I still haven't got it right.
We first met at the Twitter 140 conference, actually, I think. Have you seen what Jeff Palmer's been up to lately? Do you know Jeff?
I haven't. I do know him.
He's got some cool stuff in New York right now. He's got Pulver.edu. I would check it out, you know. And I was going to teach a course for them, and then I got a job and had to stop and bail on him. But I'm up in Canada now. So I ran into you again at South by Southwest after I won Jeremy Shoemaker's contest. It was like 69 reasons to send me to South by Southwest on Jeremy and Isaiah's dime. The Isaiah guys, I remember when I met you first, they were kind of weird. Like they had their opinions, and I don't know. Like it was interesting to like hear one of them talk shit about you. And then I was like, wait a minute. And I met you. I was like, no, this guy's cool. And I was like, I'd rather be your friend than his. And so I was like,
well, thank you.
But at the time I was just like, whatever, you know, I'd give them the benefit of the doubt to you. So
I might have barfed on his shoes. So
I think that's funny. Yeah. I think that's funny. Isaiah. I don't know that really if they've ever gotten to anywhere bigger than they did. So music. Music's always in a way part of something that we're doing. On Jeff Pulver's last little show, they had the music director of SNL on it on a Zoom. Wow. So they've always got some cool people in there to listen to. And I'm just networking as much as I can. With you, I know we were talking a lot about just awesome video game stuff. I appreciate your invite to come and try out some of the immersive VR stuff. I haven't been in the area in a long time. And now that Burning Man's been canceled 2 years in a row, I'm not even anywhere near you. But I've been playing Hearthstone and I have 999 wins. I'm about to have 1,000 wins. I'm going to go live on my stream tonight and I'll have it's like, have you ever played Magic the Gathering? It's like that.
No. Okay.
It's a very direct damage type game with cards, but you know how you play Monopoly, it's like someone has to be the banker and it's annoying. With Magic the Gathering cards we used to play in college, it was annoying to do the math with a pencil, and now if you have an iPad with Monopoly on it, it's all the math is done. So it's that. It's kind of nice.
I have a Monopoly game that you talk to the banker is electronic. So
see, again, you've got the next level of it. I love that. And why hasn't that come out sooner? Imagine you sit there, you have like the game Trouble or whatever. You press a button.
The computer has to be really cheap in a board game. So they had to wait for the price of that thing to come way down.
You think it might be like a Bluetooth board game that connects to your phone now, right? That just changes games every time. I bet you that's coming out soon.
There's a company called Tilt 5 that's coming out with a board for your coffee table or your kitchen table, and you put on some glasses and then you get as many games as they're going to deliver.
So there it comes. I was listening to some of your Twitter chats lately, just a little bit. I heard you guys yesterday and a couple weeks ago I was on, and I noticed there's some cool stuff. One of the guys had a VR link to all the virtual VR worlds you could go to. I thought that was really cool. I love that you have people on all the time. Robert's always got some interesting people on talking about the latest technologies. And there's always someone who's worked somewhere crazy. I heard you talking
last time we had a natural language processing guy, an AI expert who's been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah. The next word I have is AI on my screen here. I wanted to ask you, how afraid of it are you? And you know it's inevitable, yet the way it has to go, the real test, I think, will be...
I'm not afraid of it. I have a Facebook portal behind me, and I have a Tesla in the garage, and I have a June oven with the camera that you put bread into the oven, and it goes, oh, there's toast in the oven. Toast it.
You're the real first privacy is gone advocate. And I totally get that you need the removal of privacy to do specific tasks, like have a droid talk to you without giving it approval first, right? It's got to be allowed to. So, but the real test I was going to say was, can AI write a joke that makes us laugh? You know, I think when they can start doing things like that, we're going to start to get into the real business of where we are with what AI can do. I think an important thing that people don't talk about, and I find is very interesting. If you've seen The Mandalorian, how IG-11 it's a robot. Basically, if you watch that, they trained the robot from beginning. They reprogrammed it. And my point is, a robot or any type of AI, it must rapidly, eventually, but it must be learning and development similar to a human. You know, like our brain doesn't start like this when we're born. You know, a 30 year old human is much more developed than a baby. So, you know, the hand of the robot, the first thing it has to do is it goes, okay, this is my hand. It has to get excited. Then it has to go, this is an object. And then when it grabs the object, it gets excited. So that whole neural network learning stuff is what they have to do to make it work. I don't know how they're going to do it, but that's it. That's the key. I thought I'd ask you your thought on that.
Step by step. Autonomous cars work like that, right? My car sees stop signs and stoplights and lane markings and other things around pedestrians, bicyclists, and it's all doing that through AI. And, you know, if you look at where the world is going, it's going there pretty quickly in terms of human history, right?
What do you think's coming next?
Oh, geez, that's a big question. Apple. We're all waiting for Apple to come out with its new Apple, the new 3D Apple. And they're doing a lot of things in the home to own it. So when it comes, it's going to be big, but probably next year.
I know since I've met you, you've been waiting for the clear iPhone to come out that never happened. Like these things that were coming and coming. So if you're saying next year, I'm going to guess it's 2 years away.
No, the leaks and the patents are raining out of the sky. So it's coming soon. Yeah.
So about VR and holograms, I find that VR makes users feel kind of sick, right? Like I've had a few times where I tried it. I'm like, kind of get whatever. Obviously,
my wife does too.
The mixed reality is much better. I was reading an article about something here. It was on, I forget what it was, but a person named Liang Shi believes that the new approach, which the team that they're on calls Tensor Holography, will finally bring that elusive 10-year goal within reach to have holograms like VR and 3D printing worlds like together. Like, I don't understand that. Have you heard of that, Tensor Holography?
No, I haven't, but there's a whole bunch of work being done on displays to bring different kinds of holograms, either to glasses or windshields in cars, right?
Will we have the Princess Leia hologram? Well, we have the R2-D2 projecting.
As long as you put on glasses, yes. There's screens that can do some of that, but only in localized places. The screen, once you put on glasses, it's over. So, you know, in the next few years, you're going to see some really crazy new technologies come along.
I'm excited. I heard you guys talking a little bit about music AI for $20 a month. And then you were talking about somehow there was a Canadian joke where they said something about you put the A in decay. And I was like, okay, enough of that. But I did want to ask you about that. What do you think about the future of music? And, you know, aside from nepotism and things like that, is it going, where is it going? You know?
Well, there's a couple of ways to look at it. One, start out with this new over the ear headphone, Apple headphone. Right. And this has two AI computers in it. That's what makes this different than all the other headphones in the market. The noise canceling is the best on the market right now because of that. It has 9 little microphones around it. And it has a new thing called spatial audio. So I can hear music or sound coming from all around me. It's an infinite surround sound system, basically. And then you start thinking about what happens if they put an augmented reality computer onto this thing, where it can see the world. Well, now you can put music on your living room floor and walk around it like you were walking on stage at the Beatles, you know, and walking in between the band members as they're playing. Really? That's going to radically change music. And then we're going to get all the visuals, right? So we're going to be able to be in a rave in your living room, or a Coachella music festival in your living room, right? So, and that's coming next year as well.
I'd love to hear your thought on what an artist can do to get ahead of the curve, because most artists don't even have like a website.
Yeah, this is ahead of the curve. If you're not playing with VR and understanding what metaverses are, you probably are already way behind. You need to catch up. If you don't have a VR headset like an Oculus Quest, it's $300. Get one.
Which one should people get?
Oculus Quest 2.0. It's
Quest 2.
$300. It's $300. It's down there.
And it works on its own now, right? It's self-contained. Yeah,
it's a standalone. You don't need any computer. You just need to buy an Oculus Quest for $300. The reason I want you to do that is it starts showing you what presence and what immersion means. And you start learning how other developers are building virtual worlds for you to enjoy. You are going to start getting a language around this. You're going to start understanding what people mean when they talk about immersion and presence, right? So that you can have some real conversations with your tech teams about the future of your brand and a future of where you're going to go with this stuff, right? Because if you're Marshmello, for instance, he played at Coachella. I saw him 6 years ago, something like that. And in Coachella, in the Sahara tent, only 10 to 20,000 people can fit in that one venue. Well, he played on Fortnite and he gets 11 million people watching. So if that didn't get your attention,
that was insane.
As a musician, then you're not going to get anything, because you're not really in the audience business, right? And music is about building audiences, right?
Yeah, and like even with crypto coins currency, you can make a coin for your band that's like only people can buy stuff from that, and it kind of makes sense to do that as an artist. It doesn't make sense to do it as a company, unless you're like Nintendo and you're selling these coins, or someone like who does that. They haven't even done it yet.
Don't go there, because in 10 years, everything's going to work like NFTs. A lot of things are going to be on my walls. Virtual things are going to be on my walls all over my house. Right. Hopefully I can afford some nice ones, you know, but
do you care about unique NFTs?
If you want to own an Ansel Adams photo, it costs money.
Do you care about it being unique?
I don't care, but other people do. I pay attention to what other people care about, and other people care about having things in their homes that they care about, right? That's unique. If you're a rich guy, you have a Picasso on the wall, right?
Well, can people just make a fake NFT and pretend it's the real one? Like, will people do that then?
They can, but I come along with my glasses and go, no, that's not a real NFT. I already looked up the NFT and it's not a real NFT. You're trying to fake me out, man. So stop lying that you own out of the Picasso on the wall.
So right now, NFTs is a really big moneymaker. For anyone
you should start watching an artist called Tutu.
Okay.
He works for Dylan Francis. He's been doing all sorts of art for Dylan Francis, and he's building all sorts of metaverse-based art for the music industry, and he's doing badass shit. So
very cool.
He's working with a company called The Wave, which is doing this kind of virtual thing. Right now, it's still on flat screens, but some days that was started as a VR company, switched to 2D screens because that's where everybody is today. And they'll switch back when the glasses come out next year, the headsets from Apple and Facebook.
There's a pretty cool dome in LA called the Wiz Dome or something. And they do like virtual, like bands are performing, but there's like mapping going on all around them. And it's really, really neat. If you have a chance to check it out, I think Pink Floyd was doing something with them. And there's a lot of other musicians in LA involved.
Domes are cool, but soon you're going to have that in your living room. Why would you want to go to a dome? Get rid of this idea you're going to go and do things. Yes, no, we're all going to do things, but we're going to have that dome in our living room soon.
Well, this was for the band is performing, though, and you can go see them. Like, you're actually, you're there.
I get that, but that only 10,000 people can do that. I'm talking about millions of people, man. New world.
This is less than thousands. This is like hundreds.
I know, hard to get a ticket to a dome, a physical dome. You're going to have a virtual dome on the Apple headset coming next year. So why would you think like a physical thing now? You got to start thinking, virtual. I'm going to have a new audience showing up next year, you know, with headsets, with Oculus Quest and stuff like that. We're going to be able to reach a new audience in a new way.
Where do I want to be performing, at home to the world, or do I need, like, where do you see that?
Do you want to get in another airport? I mean,
that's a good question.
They're still going to have to travel, okay? Because humans still like to see music, and analog music, real world music, is still better than digital music. But most people can't experience this stuff, right?
After last year, I just want to play in front of real people.
I know. But the trick is to now start capturing that with a bunch of 3D sensors so that you can put that up into virtual reality or augmented reality, and you can make your audience that's maybe a few thousand people in front of you. Now it's a million people.
So when that's you have a show, when you have a show, you map it all out virtually so people can walk through the stage while it's playing. With cameras and sensors.
Eventually. Today, it's really hard to do that. It costs millions of dollars to do that. But soon, i.e. next year, there's going to be stadiums that have 100 cameras in them that does volumetric, right? And there's going to be a lot of companies and a lot of pressure on the music industry to do this, because I'm going to be watching music in my living room. I'm not coming to Coachella no more. So if you want to get me as a consumer, you got to think about this new world that's coming.
Love it. And this is great.
We're in metaverses and virtual reality. You know, that's where the new market is. That's how you get the people to come and see you.
Right? Did you see the virtual Burning Man? Did you see it?
Oh, I did. I not just saw it. I partied there. And some of the people who were putting it on gave me a tour. It was awesome.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who did a lot of really amazing stuff that I've been watching what they're doing for next year. And they're actually using some of that technology just to show what their new art cars and plans are looking like. I kind of took a year off of that just because I was like, I'm like out of it this year, but removing back to Canada. But man, there's a lot of really cool stuff coming up with the technology. Like, I've been using Ableton Live with a pretty elaborate setup that I can now stream from using Zoom, that we've all these plugins attached to it. I hired one of the best guys to help me build it. And it's just, you know, I would never have dreamed that I could be where I am, where I can actually do it all from a laptop playing guitar. I have a drummer, a live drummer, but everything else is on Ableton, and it works. It sounds like the record.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. No, it's cool. Technology is really changing music, isn't it?
Well, that's kind of why I like talking, to keep the pulse on things with you a little bit, because you're not there as a musician. You're as a consumer, as a creator, as a father, as a
I'm in the front row cheering, man.
But you're very vocal about how it should happen, and it's good to hear someone who has the experience of watching other product launches fail and just watching technology emerge over the last 20 years. Like, I have an Atari 400 over there. Why? Because I want one there. Does anyone understand that? No. But it's been neat watching.
Reminds you your childhood, right?
And that's what's up with like Star Wars and stuff. Like, no one cares about stuff that didn't happen to them when they were young, but we do. So it's super interesting.
My kids are on Discord with his friends back there.
Yep.
And Minecraft and Roblox and Gmod, all these different kinds of games that you can play with your friends, you know.
I actually just got a PS4 and started playing Grand Theft Auto with my homies I haven't seen in years. And it's been super fun. And you can do things together. It's just the collaborativeness. It doesn't even matter what you're playing. Yeah. It's just nice to, but when people are on like, oh, I have Microsoft or I have this, you can't hang out with them because they're not on the same thing. It's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, that is very frustrating. And that'll be actually an interesting question. Will the Apple ones talk with the Facebook ones, with the Snap ones, with the,
well,
yeah,
but
the Google ones, right?
But none of the ones you're mentioning include the PlayStation Network or the anything Nintendo related or anything, none of the consoles. And where is that market? Like, where are the Microsoft Xbox people and the PS4 people going to be?
Dying until they come out with glasses. I mean, Sony has a VR headset coming out next year, right? It's still corded. It's still not, it's not going to be what Apple's coming. Apple's about to come out with something that's really mind-blowing. And so, you know, the consoles are the past. Yeah, this is the new world of having kids on Zoom calls. It's sort of fun.
I think it's cool. Everybody's fam.
But I can chase them around too. See, this is what I have, a DJI gimbal. I'll show it to you in the mirror.
I know what that is. So you can, I used to have one of those. Yeah, you see, hold it. Yeah.
And you can move it around and the camera stays pretty steady there. So I
used to use that with the Swagtron folks. When I worked at Swagtron, it was a hoverboard company, electric skateboards, electric hoverboards and things like that. And I would use the gimbal.
Yeah. And so I get to, what do you want, Elon? Whatever.
That's fun.
He's going to steal strawberry.
Ever since I got the iPhone XR, the steady cam on, even the iPhone 7 with the stabilization, it's been so much better video.
This is a 12 Pro Max on here, and it's way better than any of those. But you still need, if you want to have this kind of smoothness of a steady cam, you have to have a gimbal. You
know? Yeah, I like that a lot. I have used it.
Steady.
I have used one. Really, my buddy has one. They're
it's
great.
Very cool, because I could take you around and take you out to the Tesla and stuff like that. So.
You should take me out to the Tesla. I've never seen it. Which one are you driving?
The Model 3.
How do you, and is that your favorite one, or do you have a favorite, or you have a plan?
If I was a billionaire, I'd have Model X or something. yeah, I'm not that rich.
I took a ride in a Model X. It was at Uber in Toronto. And I asked the guy, I go, what are you doing with this? And he's like, I just use it to drive people across the town and it pays my car payments.
I'll go in the Tesla here.
This is awesome. This is what I see. This is why I love you.
The nice thing about doing podcasting in the Tesla is it's a soundproof booth. I can get in here and yell, right?
Wow. So it's like it's basically an audio isolation booth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're okay. There we go. Yeah. So tell me about this car.
I'll just switch you back. The thing about Tesla, well, first of all, it's electric, right? And then everybody's like, we're all coming out with electric truck or car. You know, Ford says we're coming next year, and VW says we're coming with 30 cars in the next 3 years, 4 years. So there's a bunch of batteries underneath me, right? And it's great from that aspect. It's fast, right? You've seen the videos. What I'm really keyed on is the experience of owning a product, and the AI in this car and the software is way ahead of like our Toyota or our friends' other cars. And the self-driving is going to run away with the game. They have more data than anybody else does to go from not working very well to it's fully, like, it's mind blowing.
And when they license it to VW, then VW gets all that data too? How does that work?
No, they're not going to license. They're not going to license what's in the Tesla to a VW. That just ain't going to work.
Well, who's VW licensing it from? Aren't they getting like the?
VW is building their own autonomous. There's many, many companies building their own autonomous technology, but they don't have a million cars on the road with cameras that can change lanes and turn corners.
Like so you were saying, every time a Tesla drives by you, it's more data.
Yeah, it's refreshing the street as it goes by. So if it sees, you know, a car wreck, it can report that to the map and say, hey, there's police action here, there's a street closed, there's a lane closed or something like that, right?
Which is helpful to everyone.
Yeah, I'm expecting 24 months Apple and Google Maps are going to be very threatened by Tesla, because Tesla has the data they don't have real-time data on the street, and Tesla does. Now Tesla's not very many places yet, right? They only have a million cars on the street. In my neighborhood, Tesla's everywhere, right? There's five of them on my street, right? So, right? And I only have a small street here. So there's Teslas everywhere in Silicon Valley. But if you're in, you know, East Africa or Mumbai or something like that, you don't see Teslas at all. You've never even seen a Tesla yet.
We have a few in Northern Ontario. There's a lot in the bigger cities, but where I am, I've seen a couple around here, but there are some. Yeah. So they're able to map it here too, you know?
Yeah. Now there's 19 AI systems in this car, and it fully self-drives, you know, at some level. You can say you're supposed to keep your hand on the wheel. You can say it doesn't do that intersection, and it does that one. But it's starting to get really amazing. And Elon says in the next few days, we're getting an update that's going to be mind-blowing, he said. So we'll see. This is already mind-blowing. So, you know, it's like, wow, you know, if something mind-blowing on top of mind-blowing comes, then, you know, we'll see where we are in a week or something.
I missed your you had a little chat about Elon the other day before his broadcast on Saturday Night Live, but I did see SNL. I thought it was hilarious, and I thought it was pretty cool of him to tell the world he has Asperger's. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that either.
And
that was really interesting. And although it totally makes sense, most of the tech industry leaders have some Asperger's in them, because that's why they're good at technology. Right.
I know, it makes you just want to figure it out.
They have a brain. Well, they have a brain that they don't care about people. they care about, you know, sitting in front of a screen and figuring out a lot of detail, right? And being able to store all that detail in their head. It's my son's autistic. So I watch, like, he could tell you about 1960s Godzilla movies in detail. I can't do that. I don't care.
Like the spectrum opens up other parts of the brain that allow more to happen. And it's just like, if we were to understand it, you might not look at it as an ailment. It might be a part of the Darwin in a weird way, you know?
Yeah, it's a spectrum, right? My son's in the middle of the spectrum, so he didn't get hit with a lot of the genius side of this stuff, right? You see Rain Man and you start seeing people who can memorize very weird things. That's the Asperger's side, right? And then the other side is really a disabled person, can't speak, can't work, can't do very much things for themselves, right? And that's one side of the spectrum. The side of the spectrum that Mark Zuckerberg and Elon are on, it gives you some challenges with social, right? You're not an autistic person, can't look in your eyes very easily. It confuses their brain, and they don't like doing that. They don't like having small talk, right? They like going straight to telling you about Godzilla, right?
Because small talk feels inefficient.
It does to that kind of brain. They'd rather look at their iPad, right? Or do something else, right? These kids are very interesting to be around, because they are
They communicate very differently. They look at the world very differently. And their focus level is usually very different than ours. So they can sit and focus on something for a long time.
So, I think you're probably...
That's how you learn how to code, right? I can't learn to code because I can't focus on a black screen for 2,000 hours, you know, trying to figure it out.
How I learned to code a little bit, which I'm not a coder now, but I took computer science and I had to learn. I had a book when we were younger in public school. We would get books from the book club, and I got a computer programming book that had Atari 400 games in it. And I would type them all in 10,000 lines and use a tape deck cassette to save it and literally play the game. And if it didn't work, I'd be so mad, but then I'd just type it again and it would work. And then I would go in and figure out how to make it so I couldn't die. And that was the beginning of it. Yeah. That was really neat. Wow.
I worked at a programming magazine and learned a little bit, but I never took it up. It requires looking at the world a little differently than I do. And I'm not good with languages. My brain doesn't pick up languages very well.
I want to talk a little bit about security, because last night I was listening to you guys on the room, and I thought it was very interesting that I'm a computer science person. I know a lot about things, but I feel like even with what I have, I'm still like, okay, so now what do I got to do to secure everything? And I wanted to talk a little bit about the hardware key, the MDA token for the Google
Before jail. That, my suggestion is everybody needs to start putting an hour a month on their calendar where they're going to just do research on security. That's all I want you to do. Go to Google,
see,
type how to make yourself more secure, right?
I like that, but
password.
I feel like I'm beyond that because of my background and what I do.
I get that. I get that, but most people, even in your background, don't think enough about it and don't research how to pick passwords, don't research hardware keys, don't research how to keep yourself secure. Don't look at other people who've gone through hacks, right? And learn from them. That's Absolutely. How I learned a lot.
Well, what you said,
I read everything, you know, I read everything. When there's somebody who says I got hacked and I lost all my money in crypto, I read everything about that. What, how did that happen? Right.
Cause well, you said it last night,
protect myself.
People could steal your NFT. Like
we're moving, get out of the buzzwords. We're moving more of our value into computers, right? If you have 10 NFTs on the wall and they cost $1 million a piece, that's $10 million on your wall with in digital stuff, right? And if somebody can come in and steal that from you, they will. So you have to, when you buy a new house, you have to look at the locks, right? And then say, hey, should I upgrade my locks, right? And same thing here. You need to upgrade your locks. You need to do some research. 1 hour a month.
And no, I 100%.
You're going to have a different conversation with me. Even you will have a different conversation in Europe if you do an hour a month of research, because you're going to start really getting nerdy about it, and then we can have a nerdy conversation about it. Right?
I think
most
the less
people are not even there. Most people have shitty passwords. Most people don't use multi-factor authentication. They don't even know what it means when you ask them. Right? They go, "What is that?"
But that's what I want to start spreading to my musician friends, that I think can learn something from this, is that they need a hardware key for their Gmail, because Gmail is where everything lives. And you said if someone gets your Gmail, you're fucked. But what are these people doing?
And the reason for that, if I get into your Gmail and kick you out and I take over your Gmail, most of the other services will, or your email account, most of the other services will send an email to that account saying, hey, here's a way to reset your password, right? So if I have access to your Gmail, I can do that to all your other services. Now I have your bank, I have your video game accounts, I have your Twitter account, your Instagram account, your Facebook account, because you didn't do what was needed to keep the hacker out of your email system. And that's job number one, protect your email.
Hardware,
because that's the
MDA
center
token
of everything. So. And, we can talk about, you know, how do you go from no security, like a shitty password and no security, to pick a good password, go do a Google search on that. There's plenty of information on how to pick a real password. There's plenty of reading.
I've been looking at,
I've done it.
Like rainbow tables and how long your password has to be to get hacked. And like they can hack it in this much time if it's this long. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah.
I use LastPass as well. I use LastPass. Do you still like LastPass?
I do. Yeah. Okay. But you have to pay for it now. It used to be free.
If you
now,
want to split it up between the mobile and the desktop, you have to pay for it.
Yeah. And, but, you know, back to the security. So if you're somebody who does, who uses password as your password, right? And I know people like,
I know this, they're like, right? 2021.
I'm like,
company name.
How are you using this as a password? How are you not thinking about this? You're living in a digital world now. You better start thinking about this stuff because you're about to get ripped off and you're not going to be able to do anything about it. If you have, you know, $100,000 of crypto and you don't know about security and you haven't thought about security, you're going to get ripped off, man. That is easy to do if you don't have good password strategy and you don't have, you know, a way to, bind up your system. So anyway, so the hardware key, I should go get my hardware key. It's a little thing you stick in a USB drive.
Yep.
It gives you a specific number off of that hardware that goes into the Gmail, and then Gmail goes, oh, you're here. Thank you.
It's like an iLock.
In other words, you have to type in your password and you have to put your key into the computer and click a button on it. So that the computer goes, oh, okay, you did your second factor. Now we know it's actually you.
What right? If you lose that thing?
There's ways to deal with it. You can click on I lost my key and they'll teach you. But you should do some research on that.
Yeah.
How to make sure you have your real keys printed out and in a safe deposit box somewhere, right? So if you lose your key, you can still get those things and get back.
And it has to be off-site storage so it doesn't burn down with the house.
That's number one, you know? Right? Security never ends. That's why I say it's an hour a month. You got to spend the hour a month. If you don't spend an hour a month, you're not going to think about all this stuff. You're going to have weaknesses and you're going to have blind spots. And you're just not going to have the vocabulary to have a conversation with us about security. Right. And keeping yourself safe. And this stuff really does matter. Now, Apple is going with face recognition and a fingerprint, and soon they're going to look at your eyes. So these big companies eventually are going to get rid of passwords and get in and just do the security for you because they know we suck at it. But until that happens, it's on us, particularly if you're going to get into crypto and start storing value in a USB key. Right. I mean, you better think this stuff through, because if somebody gets that, you're dead and you lost $100,000 or your life savings, right?
Yeah, it's super, super like crazy, especially how like people have money and don't know how to use stuff. It's so funny.
Yeah.
You must see that a lot.
That's true. But we're going into a world where you must do security research an hour a day, even if you're a mom,
an hour a month,
even if you're a kid. An hour a month, just do some Google searches and do it once a month. That's all I need. You know, if you want to do more, go for it. But do an hour a month and you're going to get, in a year, you're going to get pretty up to date, right?
That's great.
Because you're going to start picking better passwords. You're going to understand what we're talking about with these hardware keys. YubiKey is the company I use. Google has a hardware key called Titan. If you're a Mac user, that works great because it's a Bluetooth thing that you just click on when you try to sign into Gmail for a new time.
I was interested in.
Yeah, that's pretty good. The YubiKey is much more flexible. LastPass uses YubiKey.
Oh, really?
Many, many others. Oh, yeah. Facebook uses YubiKey and others use YubiKey. So
good to know.
Well, whatever. You pick one. You know, one is better than none, as they say, right? If you have the Google one, at least you raise the fence around your house up a little bit and it's harder to steal stuff from you now, right? So, it's not impossible because security is, I mean, if China's coming after you, they're going to get you, right? They're going to get into you. But what you're trying to make it hard for is the average everyday criminal stealing your stuff.
So they'll go to the next person instead of you.
Absolutely. It's the same thing as putting a good lock on your front door, right? Why did you do that? So that people can't pick your lock as easily as the next guy, you know?
Interesting.
Or get a digital lock, so now you can unlock the door when you're walking toward it, right?
That's kind of... So what, I know you mentioned Tutu. Are there any artists you liking these days? Any new artists that you're talking about, or anyone that's really, really blowing the doors off your headphones?
Yeah, you're breaking up there. I'm not sure if you're still hearing me.
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Oh yeah, there's a whole group. Yeah, sorry, you're just your bits are flaking out somewhere between my phone and you. So you're getting
I'll turn the video off
a little bit of a. Yeah, that'd be cool. Are we doing audio only, or are we doing video?
And video and audio. I got Zoom, and I'm okay. Recording it with another camera, and I'm going to edit it all for YouTube later. Cool. Yeah, I'm not. This is definitely not streaming.
Oh no problem. I just you turned off your camera, so I was like, oh, are we doing audio only? Because I'll turn off mine too.
There I am. But yeah, I'll turn my camera off because I have another camera here anyway that's filming me from the whole.
Okay, that's cool.
I've got you on a video screen next to me. Like I'm trying to do like the awesome. Jimmy Fallon thing where he has a video screen and the person there. And I'm also recording the Zoom. And I just bought Pro Zoom like 2 days ago.
Very cool. So enough about security. Were we going to move
music.
On to now?
Music.
Music. Music is about to see a rejuvenation, because even if you have old masters, you are going to be able to re-release those masters in spatial audio, and people are going to walk around your band or your performance in a new way, right? And that's coming next year. So you have to start thinking about, oh, where's my masters? And do I have multi-track masters to go back and re-release?
Oh, I know about that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I had to get 2-inch tape dumped down to digital from our very first artist just so we could get them and I could, like... remix stuff.
Yeah, you know? And the 2-inch tape is analog, right?
Yep, the drums sound great. Yeah. But the funny thing is, we did some stuff
Neil
where
Young
we took
me into a studio and we listened to analog on his 2-inch tape, and it was amazing. And then we listened to the same recording in on high end digital equipment that he used to cut the master up into digital, and we listened at 600 kilohertz per second, which is very, very fine resolution digital, right? CDs are only 44.1 kilohertz. Mm-hmm. And so 44,000 times a second, it's taking an image of your music and slicing it up.
Well, there's a trade-off there, right? 96K, you know, is really the most you want to go to right now, because otherwise you're spending too much disk space.
Yep. It's always a trade-off, right? Do you want more resolution? Do you want better quality? Do you want closer to analog?
I think 24-bit 96 is good for most stuff.
It's pretty good, but there was a difference from 600. Right?
Well, but I'm my difference is
tiny difference.
Yeah. I'm saying 24-bit instead of 16-bit. Uh-huh. And I'm saying up it to 24-bit and up it to 96 for now if you're doing stuff. What you're saying is obviously higher, but generally, I think
Spotify and Apple Music are coming out with high resolution music services this year. Tidal is already out there, right? So, and you can hear a little difference between Tidal and Spotify, because Spotify is down at the lower res, you know, at the 44, and then they're doing a lot of compression to mm-hmm. save space and make it possible for your phone to get music anywhere, right? So, yeah, the music industry's fun, isn't it?
Record and lockdown happened.
Oh yeah, you know, this new world is coming where we're going to have infinite surround sound, and we're going to have sound programmatically put on the real world. So Volvo told me about this. Volvo and Apple are working together. They're putting a 3D sensor on the dashboard of the new cars. And mm-hmm. there's another sensor that looks at you. And there's a couple of reasons you need to do that. First, if there's a few microphones around your windshield, right, and an array of microphones, which is how noise canceling can be done. If they know where the sound is coming from in 3D space, they can focus the attention of those microphones using a computer. That's what Array microphones do. And that's why this headphone has 9 separate microphones on it.
And because it's a fabricated product that they've made themselves, they know where all the noise comes from. They know if it's noise from the road, and they've already tested all this.
Well, even better, if my mouth is right here and there's microphones here and a 3D sensor aimed at my mouth, it knows where my mouth is and it can get rid of all other noise. It can just focus right on my mouth because it knows I'm talking to the windshield because I'm on a Zoom call or something like that.
How does that work for an acoustic guitar performance with a bunch of acoustic artists? That'd be pretty cool, having like each instrument dialed in by this microphone setup or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it would work on... With instruments, you can put microphones on the instrument. So, which is what you really want to do now. Now you want to make sure each of your instruments is on a separate track on your master, because you're going to need to spit those separate tracks out on Spatial Audio soon. And so next year you're going to have some new work to do to rethink your audio masters, right?
What I'm doing right now is figuring out how to stream, right? Like if I'm at a concert and I'm performing and I'm also streaming, I have to make sure that I'm using Ableton, I've got guitar in, I've got my drummer is electronic drums. They have to be fed into my setup. And then the mix has to go out. So I'm going to the front of house with my stereo back tracks and then my guitar and my vocal. And then we're going to have to use another sound card to put the drummer's drums on it, because I'm only using one Universal Audio sound card right now. And it works, but we figured it out. So it can scale it up to Staples Center.
If you're going to distribute that on Spotify or on Apple Music, they're going to have spatial audio services by the end of next year. So
that's the big thing, musicians, spatial audio, learn how to do that.
Yeah.
Damn.
And learn what that means. If you get these new Apple headphones or even the Apple AirPod Pros, the little ones, they have spatial audio now, and you can get an app called Spatial Bliss, which puts you into a soundscape, and then you can move sound all the way around you. It's really cool on an iPhone. So
I wonder what these guys can do.
Play with that for an hour, and you're going to start realizing, oh, okay, we now are not just putting audio on 2 channel anymore, right? Like when I sold stereos in the 80s, I had 2 speakers. Everybody bought 2 speakers, right? And had a receive, had an amplifier for 2 channel. That world is over. We're going into a million channel world now.
But just adding the left
trillion channel
from mono to the left and the right allowed you the ability to know where stuff was.
Yes, but
this is
next level. You can put sound on my steering wheel, you can put sound on my mirror, you can put sound on a button. Volvo said the buttons are going to talk to you when you touch them,
right? Because nobody knows what the buttons do.
Yeah. Well, and also you can do all sorts of music or sounds, or in this Tesla, we have fart noises, right? So you can do all sorts of fun things if you know where that button is and know how to apply sound to that programmatically. But that requires you to think of sound as a discrete thing that you would put on a specific thing, right? And that's a new skill for a musician, because you don't think like that. You don't think about, oh, could we do a concert in somebody's kitchen and put the guitar on one Coke bottle and put the trumpet on another Coke bottle? You don't think like that. So,
but you could.
You will have to by the end of next year.
Very.
Do you want to get ahead of the game or not?
This is why I talked to you. That's all. Good stuff, Robert.
Yeah. You can react to what the market is telling you to do and be later, or you can be first.
Well, I think the people who are first are like the bigger artists in the world, like Marshmello, who have the budget to try it and be allowed to have Fortnite say, okay, why you want to try this? Because they know each other, you know. It's like kind of nice. But
it's easier to do things when you have money, particularly if you're going into volumetric, because you get if you're going to want to record your band and put it into my living room, that requires a volumetric studio that costs money, you know, thousands of dollars a minute.
Well,
so, and maybe a little less going down now, but it's still fairly expensive and it's still a time consuming process, and you have to have a tech team that can do that.
I've offered to be a guinea pig for anyone who wants to try it. You know, people that have a tech team, but they don't have an artist. And if you know of anyone or hear of anyone, I've got an album done. I've got everything ready to go. Did I send it to you, by the way? I'll send it to you.
Yeah, you did. It's awesome.
Oh, good. I'm glad you heard it. We got airplay on a bunch of places, even in LA and even here. And we're just kind of working on a distribution deal. And I have a manager and a lot of people. I finally have a drummer, so I'm excited. But Robert, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today. I think it's really interesting to hear all the great stories you have.
The reason spatial audio is happening, by the way, is video games are built on Unity. 60% of video games are built on this platform called Unity, which is a public company, right? And the others are built mostly on the Unreal Engine. Both of these engines automatically put sound on volumetric pixels around you, right? They automatically give you spatial audio that you can walk around a band and hear the band from different angles.
So
we're going to get this because Unity is coming to Apple's headsets, because Apple is coming in the next year with a new headset that's going to be mind-blowing, because Facebook is doing the same thing, because Snap is doing the same thing, so that's why I think why we're talking, right? It's time to start doing some research and, you know, and thinking about what would you do with augmented reality in somebody's home.
My friend Laura Escade, she has an amazing company called Electronic Creatives. They do like stuff for the weekend and people like that, really cool stuff. They were doing something at the Wisdome with Unreal Engine, I believe, behind them.
Yep.
So they're using, artists I know are using Unreal for live, and it's pretty cool. Were you thinking maybe Unity would Unity be used instead of Unreal, or do they work together? I don't understand it.
I'm expecting, now Unity is better for shitty little GPU. So, okay, let's get nerdy a little bit.
Okay.
Inside the visor that's coming, which is like these headphones, right? These headphones are over your ears. They cover your ears. They don't let the real world come to your ears anymore. They have microphones that capture the real world, digitize it, and put it in your ear. That's great. But when we get the visor, everything that you see is either a point or a polygon, a triangle or a hexagon or a voxel, a volumetric pixel, which is like a little digital sugar cube. And each sugar cube can play music, right? So think about that. There's millions of them around me in this Tesla. If I have these glasses on, it's seeing the world at some small resolution and putting stuff on there. All of that work needs GPU, needs a graphic processor, because all of the little virtual sugar cubes are being created by the computer, right? And the computer that's inside a headphone is small. It's not like a big ass NVIDIA card that's this big in the middle of your PC.
Right.
So if you want to do something that has some graphical, that looks like the real world, right? That's probably Unreal Engine with a big ass NVIDIA card. If you're going to go down from that a little bit with a Oculus Quest, a Facebook device, or this new Apple device that's coming, you won't have quite as many polygons as a high-end NVIDIA card has, right? $1,000 NVIDIA card. But it'll be, you can wear it while walking around, right? Without a cord corded into your NVIDIA card, right?
Right.
My first VR machine, I had a cord that went into my NVIDIA card, right? Now I don't have that. I just have an Oculus Quest that is
finally untethered.
Yeah. And most of the platform that works the best with these smaller GPUs is Unity. And so I'm expecting Unity to be doing a lot of stuff with Apple next year.
In fact,
Unity showed me that you're going to have bands in your kitchen, and it's going to be pretty mind-blowing. Think about being at a Lady Gaga concert in your kitchen and having the full stage in your kitchen. It gets rid of half your kitchen, and the other half is Lady Gaga, performing for you.
So musicians, make sure you have your stems ready and properly split up with all your all your instruments separated, and don't let the producer keep those tracks on you.
This is why I want you to get a VR headset, because it causes you to start dreaming. What would I do if I could put sound all around me like this? What would I do with video games? What would I do with movies?
Well, you could have a studio that has gear in it that you don't own.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Gear, virtual gear.
The virtualization of the world is coming, right? That's why we spent some time talking about security. If all your machines you bought virtually, you know, or rented from Amazon or some service, you know, you got to secure that shit. Otherwise, somebody will come in and fuck it up, right?
Exactly. I love that on my phone, I use iRig, and I can pick from amps that I want. I don't even have to buy them anymore. I can just, you can do things now like that. Again, and thanks for coming on my podcast. This is the first one, inaugural The Musician's Insider. That I believe that any musician who watches this will get tons of information about security just from you. So thank you, and I can't wait to play a show somewhere where you guys can come check it out. All right,
thank you.
Showing me your Tesla.
Thanks.
And
no problem. And I'm on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, all the usual places.
If people want to look you up. On anywhere, like
Scoble, just search it and you'll find me.
Scobalizer.
Yeah, Robert Scoble.
All right,
Scobalizer on Twitter is the best place.
Join a Twitter chat with us. We'll come talk to you soon, and you do that pretty much all the time. So,
oh yeah.
All right, man.
Thank you.
Drive safe. Awesome. Into your home.
Keep
great
it
to
up,
see
man.
You, buddy.
Keep entertaining the world. We need more music in the world. You know, I've been a little out there. I love music. I love going to music. I love going to live music. Right. I've had musicians playing concerts in my kitchen for real. It's badass, right? Well, my dinner was Slash, right? So I've been around. It's just, I think about distribution and I want you guys to make some money, right?
I hear you.
You know, and you start looking at Coachella, can get 20,000 people in the Sahara tent. Yeah, there you go.
That's Slash's
you collect
pick.
Them too, huh?
There's Slash's
That's
pick.
Great.
And there's Dime Bag awesome. Devil's pick.
That's awesome.
I can't wait to get back out there, but we're actually, I can't even get a haircut. I'm like Giorgio Tsoukas. We are locked
too,
down
man.
In Ontario. It sucks.
That's why I got these hat on and over ears headphones. You can't see my messy hair. You know? Thanks, man.
I can always put these on.
If you were wearing those around, I'd be like, oh, you got the Apple glasses already, man. How did you get those?
Exactly. All right, my friend. I'll catch up with you sometime, and thanks for joining the podcast. You have a wonderful rest of your day. All right.
Love
see you later.
Thanks.
Cheers, buddy.